During my years at seminary, I took a little piece of paper and I wrote something on it, and I put it at the foot of my bed so that every morning that I woke up, that I would see that verse and I would read it and I would start my day. I think it's a powerful verse. I think it's one that every one of us in this room could put either in the foot of our bed or on our mirror or whatever we see first thing in the morning, so that it would give us that thought. And the verse is this. Maybe most of you, I imagine, have this memorized. It's from Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, you know that verse, but I've got to tell you, every time I got up, I saw that at the foot of my bed. I read those words, and I thought, may everything that I say, Lord, be pleasing in your sight, because it's necessary. You want us to be those who honor you, who are your ambassadors. May the things I say be honoring to you, be acceptable. And may the meditations, the things I think about in my heart throughout the day, may they be pleasing to you. Yeah, I tell you, I probably should put it back at the foot of my bed and let it be the first thing I see every morning. Amen? I think we can all say that. Lord, may everything I think about and meditate on, not just think about, but the things I let go on in my heart, and may the words that I say bring you joy. May they be acceptable in your sight. Now, to some out there, words don't really mean an awful lot. They say words aren't that important. What you say, it's not that big of a deal. Words are words. There's so many people that are offended just because of words. They got to let it go. They're just simply words. And you say, it's not a real big deal. What really matters is our actions. In fact, actions speak louder than words we hear, right? And sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. Y'all heard those things. So words are not a big deal. Just let it go. It's just words. But let me tell you something. Words matter to God. So much do words matter to God that our salvation hinges on it. You say, how do you get there, Pastor? Well, Romans chapter 10 says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You follow me, church? Our mouth means something to the Lord. And Jesus says in Matthew that if you acknowledge me before men, and the word there is homologeo, which is where we get logos from. In the beginning was the logos, the word. Homologeo means to say clearly. Whoever says clearly or talks or acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. That means we have to say something. He who acknowledges me before the before men, I'll acknowledge before the Father. But he who does not acknowledge me, who does not speak clearly about me, homologeo, does not talk about me before men, I will not acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Words are important to our God. Now, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and hold them up in the air. Thanks for bringing them with you. Would you quickly turn over to Matthew chapter 12 for a moment? And we see Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. And he says these words, starting with verse 30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You sons of venomous serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So do you think words matter to God? In the Ten Commandments, those commandments that Moses brought down from Sinai, those most important things that he wanted Israel to start off with. Now they end up with about 600 commandments by the end of the Old Testament. But the ones that come down from Sinai, there's 10 of them. He says, you got to get these things down. 5 that deal with God, 5 that deal with man. But 2 of those deal with what we say. You are not to use the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. You're not supposed to speak his name even in vain and cause it to be empty. And the second thing that within those 10 is that you're not to bear false witness against your neighbor. You're not supposed to be a liar. You got me so far, church? So even in the Ten Commandments, there are 6 things that God hates. Of all the things you think that God hates, there are 6 things that he hates, 7 that are detestable to him. And of the 7, 3 of them have to do with what we do with our mouths. 2 of them actually pertain to lying. And the 3rd one, the last one, is he who sows discord among the brethren. Those who spread gossip and use their mouths to divide the body of Christ. The household of faith. So words matter to our God. Now, if we truly desire, we've talked about this for several weeks now. If we truly desire, and y'all said yes the first week. If we truly desire to do everything that we do and say everything that we say as unto the Lord, and we haven't talked about the say part yet, that's what we're doing today, then we really need to watch our mouths. Amen? You all know, because you all have a problem with your mouth. You know that, right? That's what James tells you, not me. James says not one man can tame the tongue. So we all have a problem with it. The question is, if we really want to use our mouths for the glory of God, if we want to say everything we say as unto the Lord, then we need to watch our mouths. In Colossians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but Paul writes these words. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about what we do with our mouths and how we bless or curse, how we honor God with them or not. And I'm just going to pray that you listen, that you don't put your defenses up, that you just listen. And then as you leave, just kind of chew on it a little bit. See what God has to speak to your heart about, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we get into this topic of controlling our tongues, I certainly, certainly feel like a hypocrite up here. Father, I know that my words are not always pleasing to you and how they are not honoring to others. And Father, I don't stand up here in pride. I stand up here in shame for those words that I've said so often. But Father, I pray, like hopefully everyone in this room is praying, that you will take my tongue and their tongues and use them for your kingdom and for your glory and for the edification of others. And that you would start even this very hour. Now, Father, I pray that you would speak to us through your servant, through your spirit, through your word, that only your message would be proclaimed. I pray that you protect everyone in this room from having any excuses, any barriers, anything of their flesh to come in and block this. And may your kingdom be advanced. Meet with us here, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is an area in our life that needs transformation above everything else, it's our tongues. I think that Christians, for the most part, do a lot of good stuff. Do a lot of good stuff. In fact, if you were to take out the Christian influence of the world, it would be a disaster. I don't know how many of you know this, but Russia has instituted a law that you can't share your faith with anybody without prior state consent. And right now, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, they have set up for prosecution 4 Christian individuals. 1 Hare Krishna and 4 Christians. The Krishna guy was acquitted. The 4 other ones were either fined or still waiting their final decree. But it's going to continue. It just started, and they've already gotten 4. So my point is that you take out the Christian influence in Russia, you're going to have a disaster. The Uzbekistan, if you don't know this, the president just died. 70-something years old, one of the most cruel, vicious dictators in that area. He actually boiled people in torture.
This is the president.
Now, he just died, and we don't know what's going to happen. We've talked to some people that have worked in Uzbekistan and what their plan is. And, of course, with Russia, that whole area is in upheaval. You take out Christian influence, and that's what you have. You think the presidential election coming up is problematic. Imagine if you lived in a place where the president can boil you and torture. You take out that Christian influence. Let me tell you, our actions are not necessarily the problem, but our mouths are. We have a tendency to do amazing things, and then before you know it, our words tear apart everything that we just did. We can have just been so kind, and then, boy, something foul comes out, and it leaves a bitter taste in the hearts and minds of the people that were just a part of that. If we're going to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus with ever-increasing glory, we need to really be intentional about our speech. We need to watch what we say. Think before we speak. Amen?
Amen.
I see some of you nodding. Amen. Think before you speak. That's really hard for me because my mouth is always running. Think before you speak. Before you say something, consider the effect your words might have on the situation or on the person. Now, I want to talk to you about five quick things, very quickly. Five things I think we need to consider today. If you're going to take notes, I think it's a good time to do that. It's going to start off with an honest evaluation. How is your tongue? And you may need to get an honest friend to talk to you. Say, listen, what is it like when I'm around and I'm talking? Am I abrasive? Am I gracious? What is it like? Oh, man, you are so sarcastic. Man, sometimes I don't even like being around you. Or your words have a real bite to them. Do you notice? You just got a real sharp edge to you. Can you hear those words from a friend? Or are you one that says, oh, I didn't like that, you know, and you take off. You lose your friends. Or can you get a friend and say, listen, I want you to be honest with me. When I talk, what is it like? Am I gossipy? Am I one who edifies somebody, builds them up? Or is it the opposite? We've got to take a strong evaluation. So we're going to start with the first thing. First thing is this. Realize that if your heart is not right with God, your mouth is going to betray it. We see that in Matthew chapter 12 that we read just before, where Jesus talks about from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know that verse. He says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and vice versa. And before you know it, you're doing things that you ought not to be doing with your mouth. But it's a reflection of your heart. If you're not walking with God, you may give a good show here in church. Just let you know, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. They have a good show. They have the uniform, if you will. They have the right words to say. They've got the scrolls in their arms. They know how to look right, but their words are terrible. He says, those who are not with me are against me, and those who not gather, scatter. He's talking about the Pharisees are against Jesus, and their mouths are betraying them. If your heart is not right with the Lord Jesus, your words are going to be really terrible. I don't just talk about profanity. I'm talking about how it comes across in everything that you say. You with me, church? First thing is your heart right with the Lord? Have you been walking with Him? Or are you far away from Him? The second thing I want to say is this. When you consider how you talk, don't consider your words in comparison to somebody else's. Consider your words in comparison to holiness. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn back to Isaiah chapter 6. Where our brother read for us about this amazing privilege that Isaiah has. Isaiah chapter 6, as he sees the Lord. Still with me, church? All right. Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read it because I have an emphasis I want to bring out. Starting with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah speaking. I saw the Lord. That's not a trite statement. He saw the Lord. Not many people saw the Lord before Jesus walked this earth. Not many. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and He was seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs. That in Hebrew means the burning ones. Above Him were the seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces, and
With two, they covered their feet,
and with two, they were flying.
And they were calling to one another back and forth. You can just imagine this cacophony, this big orchestra, if you will. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. As they said it back and forth, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah's getting all this in what he sees. He's listening to the angels. And it says here, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This is powerful theophany. And what does he say? Woe to me. I am undone. I love the King James on that. I am undone. The Hebrew means, literally means to be destroyed, to be ruined, to be torn apart. I am undone. For I, not because of all the terrible, wicked things I have done in my life. Look at what he says. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, see, this has touched your lips. And your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. I'm undone. How many of us start to realize we are in the presence of the Lord all the time? And our mouths have just betrayed us so terribly and said, I'm undone, I'm ruined, I'm destroyed because I am such a foul-mouthed fool. And I live among a people who are so foul-mouthed as well. I got to tell you, some of you do live among people that are really, really foul-mouthed. Amen? You go to work, and man, all you ever hear is the F-bomb. It's the only word they know. They got taught one word in school, and that was it. You say, my goodness, and before you know it, you're up in a pulpit, and a word flies out of your mouth. You say, my goodness, how did that happen? And you realize you live among a people of unclean lips, and what you hear constantly, before you know it, gets in a part of your mind. He says, I'm undone, not because I've done wicked things, but because of my lips and what I've said and said with my words. He says, I'm undone. And he says, okay, I'm going to take the coal, I'm going to put it to your lips. He doesn't ignore what he says. The seraph comes and he touches his lips. And he says, now your sins are atoned for. Let me tell you something. Oftentimes people will clean up their language when I walk in the room. Or I come to visit them in the house. There's one, about the first or second year I was here, there was a family I went to visit. Part of this church, they're long gone. But they're part of this church. And as I was coming up the stairs to their apartment, I heard all the expletives flying, right? And they're yelling at each other, and it's nasty. And I'm thinking, oh boy, do I want to go in here? I don't have a gun. And outstanding people in the church, they really were. And I go in there, and I knock on the door, and they welcome me. Oh, Pastor, it's so great to see you. And their language is also flowery and full of grace. But I had heard. I praise the Lord that there's never any yelling in my house. Let me tell you. There's nothing further from the truth on that one. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, the point is that when I walk into a room, or when you walk into a room, and you're with your buddies, I bet they say, oh, you've got to watch your mouth. They're a Christian. You got to watch what you say. There was a time when I was working out at the gym years ago. Yeah, I used to do that. I worked out at the gym, and there was this guy. I talked to everybody. You know that. I talked to anybody. So I went up to this one guy, and we're talking. He's just going on and on. And boy, he was just so foul with his language. Just everything that you could imagine coming out of his mouth. He's never met me before. We're talking, but it is foul. And he goes on and on and on. And then he goes, by the way, what do you do for a living? So I said, I'm the pastor of a church down in Phillipsburg. And he said, and then he let another expletive fly. He goes, man, I am going straight to hell. I said, that's right, you are. Because if you swear in the presence of someone who's perfect like me, right? Now, I'm an Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips like everybody else. And I live among a people of unclean lips. But do you understand? He said those words not when he was living among the people of unclean lips. He said it when he saw the Lord. He was comparing what he says with his mouth to pure holiness.
And the angels were saying, do you understand? You see the Lord and he's holy, holy, holy. And he comes, he says, I'm undone. I'm falling apart. I'm destroyed. Do you remember Moses went up to the burning bush? Do you remember that? He went up to the bush, not because it was speaking. He went up to the bush because it was burning and it wasn't being consumed. He wanted to know what on earth was going on. So he went over to it. And then as he was approaching, he heard the voice from of the Lord from the bush and said, take off your sandals. The ground on which you are standing is holy. Why was the ground holy? Because God was in the bush, right? So the ground around Moses was holy because God was in the bush. Well, let me tell you something, people. You are holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says to the church, it was a mess. This is the first book that he wrote to the Corinthian church. They were a mess. He addresses all these issues. But he starts off by saying, to those who are sanctified, those holy ones, those of you who are holy, because you are holy, because of Jesus Christ, called to be holy. You are holy, called to be holy. And you are holy, why? Because God dwells within you. So if God was in the bush, and because he was in the bush, the ground around the bush was holy, and God is in you, then that tells me every place you set your foot is holy. Did you catch that? Because God is in you. And so, you are in the midst of holy, but you are always in the presence of God. If it takes seeing him on the throne to say, boy, my lips are a mess because now I'm in the presence of holy, you got to grasp the fact that God is always here. And everything we say is said in the presence of the Lord. So we have to evaluate. You have to evaluate your tongue, not to the foul-mouthed person you work with, but in comparison to pure holiness. Let's continue on. Are we using our tongues to spread lies or to share the truth? Are you a liar? Am I a liar? You know, when I was growing up, we were not allowed to use that word of somebody. We couldn't call somebody a liar. That was too harsh. I think it's an important thing. I'm not saying that you can't use it, but if you call someone a liar, that's quite an indictment. It's not a big, it's not a small deal with God. In fact, it is a powerful thing. One of the things that he absolutely hates is a lying tongue, bearing false witness against your neighbor. Do you spread lies or are you somebody who speaks the truth? Now, would you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3? Can you hang with me for a few more minutes? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3. That's in the New Testament, right? 1 Peter chapter 3. What's that?
Back of the book.
1 Peter chapter 3.
Starting with verse 8. Finally, all of you, Peter writes. Now, mind you, Peter is kind of rough with his language, isn't he?
Do you remember?
Peter called down curses on himself when the little girl said, I think you were one of Jesus' friends.
Rough language, these fishermen.
He says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. That means to suffer with them. Love as a brother. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Are you a deceiver? Are you a liar? Jesus said to the Pharisees so often, he said, you brood of vipers, you sons of Satan, your father is the father of lies, and when he lies, he speaks his natural language. And you guys are sons of him because you guys are a bunch of liars. The truth is so important. Are we speaking the truth? Now, can I just share with you this whole idea of speaking the truth in love, just as a little aside? I think we've messed this whole concept of speaking the truth in love. I think we've messed it up. Can I just ask you a question? If somebody comes up to you and says, brother, sister, I just have to speak the truth in love to you. What's coming? What's coming? Is it an encouraging word?
Probably not.
Probably something where they're going to rebuke you or correct you or chastise you or something.
Listen, I'm just speaking the truth in love.
Can I tell you that that's not what this verse, that where it's found in Ephesians, is not what it's all talking about. Ephesians is talking about heresy.
That when we're all united and everybody's doing their work and we come to this point of unity, then we will not be tossed back and forth like little children, tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine and by the deceitfulness and craftiness of man, but speaking the truth.
In love, we will all be brought together, built up, and the like.
He's talking about combating heresy in love.
I'm not talking about coming up and say, well, by the way, I want to tear you down in the next few words, but I want to just say I'm going to speak the truth in love.
We can all do that. We can all tear each other apart.
Any fool,
my favorite phrase,
any fool can tear down a house.
Amen.
I love working construction for my brother when he says, bring your sledgehammer.
I love that.
Because I can't damage this house any more than it's supposed to. Because
I love tearing things apart.
Because I'm not hurting anything. I'm doing what I'm called to do.
Call me in for finished carpentry, forget it. I hate that because one little tiny nick or scratch is a problem.
But man, I can get in there with my sledgehammer, my crowbars, and rip this stuff apart. I'd rather bleed from my knuckles doing that than try to do the finish work. Because I know that I'm meant to destroy.
Any fool.
Can tear down a house.
It takes a wise man to build one.
And I tell you what we do with our words, it shouldn't be, I want to speak the truth in love. You are a real blessing to me. It should be things like that, not, let me tell you, I'm going to speak the truth. That's about heresy. I want to make sure you got that thought before you say it again. Fourth thing, very quickly. That is dissension. Are we using our lips for dissension or to tear the body of Christ apart? Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, just a couple more minutes. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. God says, and he says it as the last of seven so that they would remember. You say things first so they remember, say things last so they remember. The last thing that God says he hates is he hates those who sow discord among the brethren. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. You're familiar with the verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk. So that means we're going to have to be intentional about our speech. Think before we talk. Is this going to be unwholesome? Is it going to tear down somebody else? Is it going to rip them apart? Is it going to set one brother against another brother or sister against a sister? Watch what you say. Are your words of your mouth acceptable to the Lord? Then lastly, are you speaking blessing? Would you take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 3? James chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, because the rest is easy to take care of after that. He is able to keep his whole body in check if he can control his tongue. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole big animal around. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You guys have a problem with your tongues. You know that? We all do.
We all do.
Not one person in this room can tame their tongue. That's what the Bible says. All kinds of animals have been tamed. But no man can tame the tongue. You know what that tells me?
Only God can.
We're praying today that God would take control of our tongue because we can't do it. As good as you think you are, you can't. That little tiny thing inside your mouth is a vicious evil sometimes, isn't it? It rips people to shreds and sends them out wanting to die. God says, you can't be doing that. You're supposed to be a person of blessing. I have an aunt who won't come to our church because of those things. And because of that thing, the drums and the bass guitar and the electric guitars and the like, she won't come. You know why? Because those instruments are evil. No, they're not. The pew you're sitting in is not evil. The organ is not evil. No instruments are evil. Instruments are inanimate. They don't have a soul. They don't have a mind. They don't have a will. They can't do anything bad. That's never killed anyone. Never done anything wrong, ever. It's not evil. No instruments are ever. Now, everything can be used for evil, but it's not evil in and of itself. Amen? In fact, the interesting thing is some churches won't allow instruments in the church because of their evil connection. But could I tell you, every single Sunday, those same churches let in the most vile instrument, and everybody brings one with them. They bring their tongues. They let those guys in. But is your tongue one that speaks blessing? Even when you're having to say something hurtful that you know is going to hurt them, are you filled with grace? I had to discipline somebody years ago. Pulled them a little bit from ministry, just temporarily. But before we disciplined them, I had them in my office with two elders, and I just started to cry. And I'm not a crier, I just started to cry. I said, I hate doing this. I'd rather have my tongue cut out than to tell you what I have to tell you, but we're going to have to set you back from ministry for about a year. And I had to tell them something I knew was going to hurt their feelings, but I tried to be as gracious as I could about it. Sometimes we have to say those things. But is your tongue one that blesses or curses? Are you always tearing somebody down? I don't think so. I think that the gossip in this church has gone way down. Every once in a while I'll hear it, but I tell you, I praise the Lord for what you're doing here. Because we tear each other apart just by setting one brother against another. We may not even say anything about you or you, but we set somebody else against somebody else, and they hear that. And so I'm wondering what they're saying about me when I'm not in their presence. But I praise the Lord that the gossip is way down. For sure, of this series, this is probably one of those ones that needs the greatest transformation. If we're going to do all that we do and say all that we say is unto the Lord, perhaps everyone in this room should take a little piece of paper and write on it, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And put it at the base of your bed or on your television at the base of your bed or on your mirror in your bathroom or on your refrigerator door so that almost the first thing you hear and read and see is that. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your great love for us, that you would teach us your way. Father, we know that our tongues are wild. Even when we're around the body of Christ, they can be out of control. So, Lord, we're asking that you help us. No man can tame the tongue, then we can't do it. So we're asking that you would do it. That the words that we say would bless and not curse. That we would be kind, that we would be encouraging. And Father, forgive us of all those times. And they're so right in front of our eyeballs, for those times when we've been so rough, so hurtful, and we've been unrepentant. Lord, forgive us. Father, make us the men and women you called us to be, ambassadors for Christ. And Father, if there's anything in my flesh that's crept into this message, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.